Thoughts are like magnets drawing effects to you. Hatred is the most severely damaging mental condition. It poisons the body, and its effects are virtually irreversible. Fear is the opposite of everything you are. And not so very long ago, you feared me. Now you love me. And I love you. This is God work we're up to, you and I. So keep on.
Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today I have a very special guest on the show who's going to be talking about his new book, Dr. David Perlmutter. He is the co-author of the book, Power Up Your Brain, The Neuroscience of Enlightenment. I need to tell you there were two words the minute I saw this email come through from Hay House about this new book, brain and enlightenment, and I thought, I have got to get these authors. If I can get both of them, great. One of them, I've got to get them on the show. From my standpoint, the book Power Up Your Brain is really a groundbreaking book because it really integrates that scientific perspective, which is from Dr. Perlmutter, a neurologist. I'll introduce him more and tell you about his background. And then also the wisdom of the shamans, and its co-authored with the book, Alberto V. Oldo. And Alberto, a friend of mine, we met at an I Can Do It up in Toronto, Canada, and just immediately had an attraction. He's a wonderful energy healer, a magnificent shaman. And when I saw that the two of them, Dr. Perlmutter and Alberto, put together this book, I thought, oh my gosh, this has really got to integrate that scientific with that esoteric, and it does, and it's certainly certainly a great read. So what I'm going to be doing, we're going to be talking about the activities of the brain, we're going to talk about all the things that I've mentioned on the show about toxic thoughts and toxic emotions, and then how can you awaken the power of your higher brain. And Dr. Perlmutter is going to even be talking about the old brain, the new brain, and some of the information that we can really apply to our everyday lives, and then the great program that they offer also in the book as far as being able to help repair the brain so then it can be as vital and as active as it's really designed to be, and kind of takes the old myth that the cells die and then the brain starts to atrophy. Well, what you're going to find out in the book and this interview today is that's not really the case. So very, very exciting. Now, Dr. Perlmutter and I are going to be taking your calls. I was so excited that he agreed to do that. So if you have a question for us today, you can call us at 1-877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada. And then international callers, you can dial the same number. All you have to do is your international calling code. The number is 877 1-800-230-3062. It's a great opportunity if you've had any questions about the brain and about the body-mind connection, and literally how can you change not only nutritionally, but change your thoughts and change your emotions and change your attitudes to change your life, change the vitality of the brain, and then also your health. Before I actually go in and introduce my guests, I'd like to invite you to join me for my free Your Health teleclass that's going to be happening on April 28th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic of this month is high cholesterol. I know I've been getting emails. It's a very controversial topic as far as what's real with high cholesterol or not, but my job is to bring the information forward and to weave the science with the alternative perspective and that holism that comes with healing. So it's going to be on high cholesterol, and in addition to how it impacts the vascular system, I'm going to be sharing some of the psychological meanings behind high cholesterol that can be triggering that to be increasing in your body, your levels going up, how it looks in the energy body, and the important role your personality plays in increasing your susceptibility to the contributors of high cholesterol, which is inflammation. Also, we know that low thyroid contributes to it. But how does your stress level, which is tied to high cholesterol, how does that impact it? So you'll notice from what I've shared with you is that I offer a lot of perspectives, both allopathic medicine, alternative choices, psychological, energetic, and then the clinical approach to high cholesterol. So again, well-rounded perspective, and the wonderful thing about the body and the mind connection is that we can start healing on any of those levels. One change starts changing the process across the board. So again, it is a free teleclass. I invite you to share it with your friends. You can register on my website at www.ritberger.com. And again, it's Thursday, April 28th at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. When I saw the power up your brain, the neuroscience of enlightenment, as I shared, is I got very excited about it. And then when I read the information about how it integrated the science with the esoteric, I even got more excited about it. The very first thing I did is I requested a book. And I need to tell you, I just devoured it. It really is a book that integrates the two different perspectives in a very conscious way, in a very enlightening way, in a very empowering way. And what it does is it helps you go in and realize that when we think of the body and we think of it from a nutritional standpoint, which is very, very important, then there's also things that we can look at, which is what my whole theme and what I basically focus on since I came back from my near-death experiences is how can we look at our life, our health from a holistic perspective. The thing that I really liked is that while it has a lot of science in it, it doesn't have a lot of the scientific jargon that is often used to be able to explain or to rationalize a research project or anything. It's very easy read. It's really not only rich with information, but I also found in the back of it that there's an actual plan of action, an actual plan that you can take that I've started since I read the book. And I can tell you that it doesn't take months and years to be able to change that fuzziness and the fogginess in the brain, or to change the vitality of the body, or to spark the body back into the activities that it's really designed to. And this can happen in a very short period of time. I started noticing a difference in the first week when I became involved in the program. So again, wonderful, wonderful book. The book is available, Power Up Your Brain, The Neuroscience of Enlightenment, through hayhouse.com, amazon.com, and then also your local booksellers. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce my guest, Dr. David Perlmutter. He's a board-certified neurologist and a fellow of the American College of Nutrition. He serves as the medical director of the Perlmutter Health Center and the Perlmutter Hyperbaric Center in Naples, Florida, and also is an adjunct instructor at the Institute for Functional Medicine. He's received numerous awards, and I can certainly understand that, for his innovative work and his approaches to neurological disorders, and also the weaving of being able to put nutrition as well as looking at how that impacts the brain. He's included many received many awards, the Lioness Pauling Award for his innovative approach. Again, the American College of Nutritional Humanitarian of the Year Award. I mean, his pedigree reads like a hoo-hoo's. He's the author of 4 books and of many journal articles. He's appeared on 2020, Larry King Live, CNN, Fox News, Fox and Friends, The Today Show, and Oprah, and The Early Show. My goodness, thank you. I really am appreciative that you would take the time to join us. Thank you, Dr. Perlmutter.
Well, Carol, it is absolutely my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Very good. Well, you know, we always start these interviews out with the common things about, you know, really, what inspired you to write this book?
It's a very good question. And, you know, this is my 5th book. Along the way, I've written books that really attempted and I think succeeded at bringing kind of scientific medical principles to the understanding of the common consumer who, you know, knowing that knowledge is power, so really bringing up-to-date information to the consumer about the role of nutrition and lifestyle issues as they relate to protecting the brain and enhancing the brain's function. But as you well know, this last book is a bit of a departure from that in that we begin to embrace beyond just the structural function of the brain and begin to understand that, yes, we are a physical being, but we're also a spiritual being, and felt that it was time, you know, to gain a little bit of a comfort level with that in writing a book and to be able to discuss that not only in the venue of a book to the reader, but also in terms of the doors that will open when a person writes a book such as this. In other words, the radio interviews as we're doing right now, the various public lectures to professionals that I've had the opportunity to give and continue to give. And it's very interesting to observe the response now that we've made this bit of a leap to not only considering, you know, the nutrition of the brain and how it nutritional approaches deal with things like free radicals and inflammation, but beyond that, what our true gifts are in terms of this very, very powerful supercomputer that sits atop our shoulders. And what that allows us to do, not only momentarily day-to-day, but really in the long run, not just as individuals, but even as a species on this planet, that, you know, we've been gifted this incredible power that opens the doors to vast opportunities, you know, for self-improvement individually and, again, as a species, to take us to places where we really should go, where we, what, you know, which is our destiny. And it seems to me that what we've learned in writing this book and then in the months that have followed since its release in February, that people are looking upon it not just as a way to enhance brain function as our previous books have done, but really kind of a call to action that, okay, we have this powerful advantage, this powerful gift that we've been given for, you know, however that occurred. What do we do with this in these times of question, in these times of decision-making, when we realize that, you know, we're affecting the biosphere in many ways very negatively, as evidenced by current events over the past month in the Orient, et cetera. This is, you know, the one-year anniversary of the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, which is where I live. So, you know, these things become very front and center in terms of what does our brain allow us to do from a technological perspective that obviously has had its upsides, but clearly, you know, we're now experiencing the downsides. But beyond that, what is our potential to pull out of this and to really envision a brighter future, you know, really the next level of human evolution from Homo sapiens to Homo luminous, where we really begin to shine and really begin to fully take advantage of that powerful gift that we've been given.
Well, absolutely. And from the standpoint of this kind of focus about this shift of consciousness that we're all looking at individually, and then how can we individually impact it collectively, when I went in and I started really looking at the way that you talked about that old brain and then that new brain and, you know, that reptilian brain. And what it did is it brought to the forefront in our thinking that the brain is a vital organ that evolves just like the rest of the body evolves and all the organs and glands, and that it has within it this inner wisdom that literally can help us see things beyond the obvious, that can help us take those basic human emotions that are really a part of our survival instinct, the fear, the anger, the sadness that we have, and really to realize that there's a part that's already wired in there that can help us shift this perception from the standpoint that we're not just victims of our circumstances, that we have this powerful part within us that is just really has been waiting, whether it's nutritionally or it's just expanding thinking or looking at the world differently, that's just waiting to come to the surface. And it's guiding us all the time, isn't it?
Well, Carol, the wonderful thing that has now become so clear about human brain physiology is that the human brain has this incredible potential of what we call neuroplasticity, meaning that, you know, unlike what many of us had learned in our medical school training, the brain is absolutely not hardwired, that it remains plastic and malleable and shapeable throughout our entire lifetimes. And that is actually a very good thing. Obviously, our brain has to be able to adapt and change because that is what learning is all about. Mm-hmm. And these neural networks, these pathways that are formed by experience, are also formed by simply thinking about activities, and even beyond that, the changes that take place in the brain in terms of how neurons are connected are affected even by the simple task of the simple experience of meditation. So how exciting it is that, you know, this idea of a non-changing brain that is pretty much as it is in fact very, very changeable, very, very plastic. You know, the word is neuroplasticity. And what we discussed in Power Up Your Brain is the lifestyle choices that can enhance neuroplasticity. Calorie restriction, higher dosages of a specific omega-3 called DHA, an occasional fast, physical exercise, certain nutrients like curcumin and resveratrol, turmeric being curcumin, and green tea extract, things that actually target our gene expression and enhance our DNA's ability to conduct the creation of a better brain. Once that program is in place and the brain becomes more malleable, more receptive to change, then we can impart upon the brain those activities that we know are good for the brain and can help us become better people. In other words, through, for example, meditation, we know that we strengthen pathways from parts of the brain called the anterior cingulate to another brain part called the prefrontal cortex. In other words, we're gaining access to the prefrontal cortex, which is really the unique gift of the human brain. It's the part of the brain that kind of defines us in comparison to other mammals. And it's this prefrontal cortex that has, in fact, been shown on various types of functional studies, whether they're MRI studies or SPECT scans, to light up, to become much more active when we are having a spiritual experience. So again, what the book does is it allows an individual to create a chemical environment, a biochemical environment that enhances the process of neuroplasticity. We then take advantage of the brain's receptivity to being changed at that point by then engaging in spiritual activity. So it's creating a brain that lends itself to be much more easily changed by prayer, by meditation. That said, you know, it's sort of a call to us, to those who live busy lives and can't take 2 or 3 years off right now to go stay at an ashram and meditate for 8 hours a day. You know, that would be all wonderful and great, but we have important things to do that we feel are important, and we're all working our busy lives and taking care of families and our occupations, etc. But this is a way to enhance brain functionality and brain changeability. So the brain is anything but static, and you know, that's a bit of a revolutionary concept, but it has now become very much ingrained in modern neuroscience.
And absolutely. And, you know, there's so many common myths around the, excuse me, the brain itself, and the fact that, you know, it reaches an age and that it just stops producing new cells. And there's more talk now about the mitochondria and cells and all the things. But what are some of the common myths are the fact that we're given a fixed number of brain cells. You want to talk about this a little bit more for
us? Very good, a good entree, because, in fact, that was more than an entree. That was what we were all taught back in medical school. That was indeed the dogma. The central dogma was that we had a fixed number of brain cells. And it was pretty much a downhill experience from about 18 years of age on, you know. Every beer we drank, every glass of wine would kill, they said, whatever it was, 20,000 brain cells. And, you know, at that rate, many of us wouldn't be having radio interviews at this point. But, you know, fortunately, we do know that the human brain has this incredible potential called neurogenesis, the actual growth of new brain cells. The word is even is beautiful, neurogenesis. You know, for years, the research has demonstrated that neurogenesis occurs in various mammals, in rodents, and more recently was demonstrated in various primates. But it was only about 12 years ago that it was finally demonstrated to be occurring in humans throughout our lifetime, that even into our 80s and 90s, we still continue to repopulate one important area of the brain called the hippocampus, which deals with memory function. We continue to repopulate that area with brand new cells. So, you know, it's as if we are indeed undergoing stem cell therapy every minute of our lifetime. The question one would ask is, gee, if that's happening, what can I do to enhance that process? Well, it turns out that, like many processes in the body, that growth of new cells is governed by a specific set of genes. And when those genes are turned on, there's more growth of brain cells. And we now understand what those genes are, which genes they are. They are genes that code for a specific substance that's basically a brain growth hormone called BDNF. And we now know how certain nutritional and lifestyle choices can enhance the gene that codes for BDNF, and therefore the outcome is growth of new brain cells. And this has been demonstrated in rodents, it's been demonstrated in primates, and now it's been clearly demonstrated that this occurs in humans as well. So, you know, it's kind of a wonderful validation. In January of this year, January 31st, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science published an incredible article that took two groups of elderly individuals and followed them over 1 year. One group practiced an aerobic exercise program on a daily basis, while the other group practiced a stretching flexibility program each day for the entire year. And what they were able to determine was, after 1 year, the individuals in the stretching group had, as predicted, a 1 to 2% decline in the number of cells in the memory center of the brain, whereas the group that did aerobic exercise had an actual 2% increase in growth of the memory center. So even after 1 year, there was a 3 to 4% disparity just 1 year into the program between the aerobic exercisers and the non-exercisers. And so, I mean, when you play that out over a few years, it becomes quite significant in terms of growth versus atrophy of the brain's memory center. And again, how exercise work is, it is what we call an epigenetic factor. Physical exercise of an aerobic type turns on genes. That's why it's called epigenetic. And these are specific genes that code for growth of new brain cells in human beings. And that is pretty revolutionary information, and I think it's very, very exciting. We absolutely do get a second chance.
Absolutely. And, you know, just again, and just a lot of what I hear you saying is that this is always occurring, but it's a real common sense approach to life itself and the lifestyle. And you spoke about the busyness and everything, but we can fit in time for meditation. We can fit in those few minutes a day, if it can't be a long period of time, at least a few minutes every day, to be able to get the aerobic exercise to stimulate the brain to continue the growth. And then what it does is it expands, and now we see things differently and we react differently to situations. Another one of these myths that I just kind of tickled me, and it's one that I've certainly heard a lot about, is that we only use 20 or 30% of our brain.
Well, that's I don't know who came up with that, but I mean,
I'm not sure either.
You know, when you understand the efficiency of evolution and our role, you know, what our life was like 20,000 years ago when we were hunter-gatherers, there would be no place to carry around anything that added weight. And in the case of the brain weighing about 5 pounds, you know, to say that 80% of that would be unnecessary, so 4 of the 5 pounds isn't being used, and we're carrying it around just in case Alex Trebek calls you and says you're going to be on Jeopardy next month, just in case you have that backup hard drive, is absolutely a silly contention. And it's actually proven not to be the case. When you look at brain functional studies like functional MRI or SPECT scans, that clearly demonstrate that the brain is working in its entirety at all times. So that doesn't mean the brain doesn't have potential to expand in terms of its functionality. Absolutely it does, and it does so by making new connections. So, you know, there's a period of time in our early development between 2 months as a fetus until age 2 years where we're forming about 250,000 new connections between brain cells every second. And wow. The number of brain connections that can be made in just 60 neurons, if you took a microscopic slide and there were 60 neurons, which is about how many would fit on a slide, the number of potential connections that they can make is a number 10 to the 81st power. That's a big number. That's larger than all the known particles in the universe. So it's a very big potential in terms of ways that brain cells can connect. And we have 1,000 billion brain cells. And so, you know, the number of connections would be staggering. So these brain cells are all working, but the different combinations, the way that networks are formed, the way that cells can communicate with each other, that's the potential that we never really fully tap into. But how do those connections get made? They get made through a process of neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is that connection which we can enhance to give us a far more powerful brain. And moving forward, as we age, the brain can become more and more powerful. We know we shouldn't resign ourselves to the idea that, well, you know, I'm having a few senior moments today and who knows what tomorrow will bring. Clearly that will be worse. Not at all. We should plan on having a brain that's far more functional as we age.
Well, absolutely. And I was thinking as you were talking that, you know, we probably need to throw that other myth out that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Then we know now that that is not true, and that in our humanness that we think, well, I'm getting too old, I can't learn new things. Pooh, that doesn't work anymore. Let's go ahead and jump in and let's take a call. All of our lines are full. Let's go ahead and take Amla, I think it is, sweetie.
It's Amla. Hi, Carol.
Hi, honey. I'm fine. You're from Connecticut. I just got back from Massachusetts. I love your area.
Oh, thank you.
Very good. Anyway, do you have a question for Dr. Perlmutter?
I just have a general question for both of you. I've had to... I don't know if this is on the subject, but I've had to let go of a lot, and so my body has taken a lot in, and just wondering where I'm at as far as medically speaking or what you're getting.
I'm not sure I can – I'm not sure I fully understand the question. Could you tell us a little bit more about what's going on with you?
With me? Well, I've spoke to you, Carol, before, and yes. The theme is betrayal. So I have a lot of back issues that I've basically let go of a lot, and it's on my shoulders, and my whole back is suffering, so to speak. But it's getting better, so I wanted to know where I'm at in my life right now.
Well, let me say that, first of all, you've made an incredible leap by understanding that perhaps there is a relationship between this event or events in your life of being betrayed and this physical manifestation of having back pain.
Yeah.
So for you to make that connection is very, very sophisticated, very advanced, and in fact, very, very helpful. You know, this is the type of thing, the connection that oftentimes it takes us weeks, months, years, or it may never happen in terms of dealing with individuals. So
right.
If indeed these two issues are related, which, as you indicate, they are, and likely they are, then the next issue is then how do we deal with the primary
right.
event, which is the betrayal. So the betrayal circumstances have formed a neural network. They formed a connection of nerve pathways in your brain that is referred to very frequently during the course of your day, that you know it's occupying kind of a central place, and it sort of defines believe it or not, how you view the rest of your day, the rest of the world, it helps to define or hurts
right.
what we call your reality, how you see things. And the more we exercise a pathway, the stronger it will become. That's one bit of news.
Right.
But the other bit of news is that the less we approach a pathway, the less we access a certain song from our MP3 player, the less likely that it will show up on the favorite tunes list. Are you with me?
Yes, absolutely.
So what we need to do is we need to add other things to the favorite tunes list so that the betrayal issue drops down lower and lower on that list, and ultimately, if it's your top 20, that it's not on that list at all. We do that by focusing, as you've heard many times before, on the positive. When I say focus on the positive, I don't mean just during those 5 minutes of affirmations that you might do each day.
Right.
I mean in everything you do during the course of your day, in
yep.
every action, look at the positive and ask yourself, what does this mean to me? What is this experience meaning to me on a positive level? What is my growth going to be from this experience? And pay
right.
attention to that. That will move those kinds of experiences higher up on your hit list
yep.
and will tend to cause those things that are less functional for you to drop away. But ultimately what will happen is when we create a brain that sees things more positively, it's not a question of the glass being half full or half empty. The glass becomes totally full and overflowing. And when we start to see the world in that way,
yes.
then there will come a time when you'll think back about this betrayal issue and realize that you've elected at that point to no longer visualize that as necessarily a negative event.
Right.
That it was an experience that affected you, and somehow attach something positive to that.
Also, forgiveness because of the betrayal, so to speak, is
well, without a doubt. But
yeah,
you know, a lot of times, correct me if I'm wrong, when individuals are betrayed, it's not that they need to forgive the other person.
Exactly.
It's sometimes that they need to forgive themselves,
right?
Because they feel somehow responsible for the fact that it occurred in the first place.
Right.
Feelings of I could have done this. I could have been a better
yeah.
Lover, spouse, friend, whatever, mentor. And for some reason, I didn't do enough. Therefore, this person betrayed me and did something else.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of self-forgiveness that should happen when moving through a situation like that. But
yeah.
again, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just feel the huge process of, you know, just when you think you released or you've forgiven something or someone in your life, universe gives you clues every day, every moment, and it's interesting. Something happened last week, and it was another clue or another lesson that needs to be learned because I apparently didn't learn it. And
as far as the betrayal event goes, you know, the next time you're reminded of it for whatever universal clue you receive, try to take a moment and be with that and experience
yep.
that emotion, whether it's hurt or sadness.
Yep.
Just be with it and experience it and ask yourself, why do I respond in this way? And why,
exactly.
You know, basically because you choose to respond in that way.
Right.
And, you know, ultimately, you need to try to, even if you don't feel joy in your heart, put a smile on your face. Because if you activate the brain pathways to produce a smile, it'll change the compartmentalization of that event ultimately.
Yeah.
It'll actually move it away from the most traumatic, terrible events of your lifetime to an area where other memories are stored that are not so bad, and perhaps at some point even to an area of positivity. Just smile whether you feel joy in your heart at all or not. Put a smile on your face whether you feel it or not, and just be with that feeling.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is wonderful, wonderful response. Thank you, Dr. Perlmutter. The other thing is, honey, is that, you know, life is about a series of experiences to be able to change those different thoughts and those patterns and so forth. And if we can look at them as not that we didn't learn or that we did something wrong, but the fact that it is part of an evolutionary process, it's part of that spiritual journey that we talk about, and it isn't a form of punishment. It's the gift of being on this type of journey is every time this comes up around betrayal and you find yourself being able to deal with it or overcome it or put that smile on your face.
Right.
what a wonderful gift you are for other people that experience those different events, and you can share your stories, but you share them from true compassion because you've been there, done that, not because you've read some book that
exactly.
said, okay, when you do here, you know, if this happens, smile, or you do this or that. I mean, that's the real essence of our spiritual journey, is to be able to take these parts of our life and to look at and say, you know, this is an opportunity. And we have so many layers in the hippocampus that Dr. Perlmutter talked about, so many layers of memories in the hippocampus, that sometimes it takes those little tiny baby steps of shifts to be able to expand the brain and to be able to let go of the toxic emotions and to allow the brain to repair at that level. And that's really what you're doing, is every time it comes up, you're repairing. Every time it comes up, you're repairing. And then one day you're going to find you're not as strong in your emotional reaction, or you don't even recognize it. Now, that's not because you're not willing. It's just because you get a gold star. You've done a great job. So wonderful ways to be able to look at it. And thank you, Dr. Perlmutter. What a wonderful, wonderful response as well. Well, thank you, honey, for calling. I appreciate
it. Thank
you,
Carol.
You are most welcome. See, I can hear a difference in your voice and your vibration already.
That's
great.
Okay, take care.
For all of you, please stay tuned, because Dr. Perlmutter and I are going to be talking, coming right back to talk more about his book, Power Up Your Brain, The Neuroscience of Enlightenment. You will want to stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I have a very special guest on my show, Dr. David Perlmutter. He is a co-author of the book Power Up Your Brain, The Neuroscience of Enlightenment. That book is available through HayHouse.com, Amazon.com, and your local booksellers. We've also been taking calls. We have still a couple on the line, but if you do have a question for us, we invite you to call us at 1-877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S., Canada, and then also international callers. I'd also like to remind you that my download of my March teleclass is available now on my website at www.reitberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. The topic for that free teleclass was stress, something that we all deal with on a daily basis. And it really isn't so much stress, it's how we allow it to impact us, and the chronicness, meaning how long it stays within our body and preoccupies our mind and gets into that prolonged state where it actually impacts the mind and the body connection. There are two downloads that are available for purchase. One is, of course, the download of the teleclass itself, that it's an audio version, and then I have a printable PDF that I have on stress itself. And both of those are available for preview. We have a try before you buy feature on the website, so you can go in and listen to a little bit of the audio part of the teleclass and then read a brief explanation of the information that is in the PDF. And then if you're interested in it, you can purchase it right there online, www.reitberger.com. So again, stress, the teleclass for the month of April, April 28th at 5 p.m., is on high cholesterol, and again, a holistic perspective of everything that we have going on in the body that can be contributing it to it. Let's see. So what I would like to do now is I've talked about the book and how people can purchase it. So, Dr. Perlmutter, would you please share your website information? And I know that you have a couple of health centers that you're also involved in. And if you can tell us about that, I'm sure my listeners would love it.
Carol, the book website is powerupyourbrain.com. So that's easy enough. The name of the book is Power Up Your Brain. So the book is available from Amazon and really all the major book retailers. Our office website is drperlmutter.com, and Perlmutter is P-E-R-L-M-U-T-T-E-R, drperlmutter.com. And so there's plenty of information there for our listeners. The book is pretty much what I think is the state of the art of where we are in understanding the not only the complexity of the brain, but really the simplicity of the brain in terms of what it, how we now perceive of the brain as having evolved in such a way as to be our ace in the hole. We're not the fastest animal, we're not the strongest animal, but we are clearly the most clever. And, you know, these are the tools that allow us to really exploit that uniqueness of having this incredibly powerful supercomputer, the potential of which very few of us are even coming close to tapping into. So, you know, that's really our destiny, and I think that's really what's going to pull us out of so many of the things that we're involved with these days.
Absolutely. And then you have the two health centers. Are both of those in Naples, Florida?
We do. We have the Perlmutter Health Center here in Naples, Florida, and then our Hyperbaric Center is located here as well. And there's information on the websites about our centers.
Oh, very good. And then I understand you're going to be in Seattle as well?
Well, I didn't realize your show emanated from Seattle, but yeah, I'm lecturing there next week, next Saturday, I think it is. And I'm not sure. I guess you must have some listeners up in Toronto. And because I'll be doing the Hay House I Can Do It conference in Toronto, which will be May the 15th, I believe. Yes, May 15th, which is a Sunday in Toronto itself. That's through Hay House.
Exactly. Wonderful event. Any of you who haven't attended an I Can Do It with Hay House, I would encourage you to do that. They bring in their authors and really provide a very upscale, but also a very informational event. So congratulations on both of those events. When you come to Seattle, do you have any information that the listeners can, know where you're going to be speaking?
Well, I'll be speaking at the Institute for Functional Medicine annual conference. I'll be speaking on, I think, the 20th or the 30th, whatever the Saturday is. I'll have to look the calendar. And this is going to be held at the Hyatt Regency in Bellevue.
And, very good.
My topic will be really what is the role of chronic infections in terms of neurodegenerative disease. So it's a bit of a kind of a technical talk. It is a registered kind of attendance, but you know, generally when people show up, I think for a lecture they can probably get in. I know the press always manages to do that. So.
Well, very good. And again, if for any reason you're not able to make any of the events, I really do encourage you to go out and purchase the book, Power Up Your Brain, The Neuroscience of Enlightenment. And then also, I personally have bought a couple of extra copies to be able to share with some of my students and then share with putting in my library. And then also, I've been sharing with my mother and my dad that are now 86 and 87 years old to let them know that those senior moments that they're having may not always be there. What can they do? So anyway, I thank you for the book itself. We do have some other callers on the line. Let's go ahead and jump in, and we'll do those, and then I would like you to end with telling us a little bit more about the book and so forth. So let's go ahead and jump in with Maggie from Seattle. Hi, Maggie.
Hi. Hello?
Hi, Maggie. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi, sweetie. Thanks for calling us. How can we help you?
Hi. I have a history of trauma as a young child that I believe has a part in limiting my ability to be content and successful in my life. And I've done a lot of psychological, emotional, and spiritual work around it, but I've come to believe that there's a physiological piece that limits me, and I don't know how to heal. And so when I take a specific step towards becoming empowered in my life, I can physiologically feel my body start to shut down, and it takes me about 2 to 4 days to move through that. If I meditate, I dissociate. If I exercise during that period, the fear comes up more. And I'd be interested in insight from either of you on this.
Well, first let me say that your idea that the emotional events of early life might now be having a physical or physiologic effect upon you are exactly well proven in the science. These things are not just, you know, locked away in some cavern within your brain and not having a role to play in your mental activities. They are. They're having a role to play in everything that you experience. Again, as we talked about in the earlier call, your current experience, you currently are judging your reality, the day-to-day experiences of life, are based upon how you reflect these current experiences on previous experience, but on what you've learned makes up the way the world is from previous experience. And it is unfortunate, to some degree, that traumatic experiences have such an overpowering effect in terms of coloring how you see your modern experience. The reason that traumatic events become so ingrained and become so important in your current day-to-day activities is because we're geared, our brain's physiology is geared at remembering traumatic events, because generally these are bad events, and we are trying to develop memories so that our current behaviors are such that they don't allow us to revisit those events. So if a certain place, and when walking through the forest, had an animal that was threatening, or walking down this pathway had a lot of snakes, we learn in moving forward that we don't want to encounter those animals or snakes ever again, and it changes our current behavior. The problem is, how do you disengage from those traumatic experiences? And again, you probably cannot fully disengage, because being traumatic, they were fairly indelibly woven into the matrix of your unconscious mind that you reflect, that your conscious mind uses to judge your current situation. What I'm suggesting is that we rephrase those events, that we put them in a different compartment as not being necessarily threatening, but looking upon them in a more positive way. I work with a person named Dr. Alberto Villoldo, and he runs what's called the Four Winds Society. And they've got a wonderful program. They're located in Utah that really allows individuals a way of reframing previous life traumas, rewriting their book of life, so that those events are recharacterized, they're put in a different category, and aren't as active in terms of influencing your day-to-day current experiences. So I would encourage you, the information about how to contact Dr. Violdo's team is in the book Power Up Your Brain, or just go online to the website for thefourwinds.com. They've got incredible success and results with dealing with this exact topic. Now, let me very briefly move on to something else that you mentioned, and that is the physiological or biochemical effects of a chronic stressful experience. As these traumatic events continue to surface either into your conscious or influence you subconsciously, they create stress, and that stress activates the adrenal glands, which then secrete cortisol in the human, which is part of our fight-or-flight kind of response whenever we're involved in a threatening or stressful situation. The problem with chronically secreting cortisol from the adrenal glands is that it is damaging to the brain's memory center. Now, who knows why that is, but uniquely, the brain's hippocampus, the memory center of the brain, is very, very sensitive in a damaging way to that chemical made by the adrenal glands in times of stress called cortisol. Higher levels of cortisol, as we see in patients, for example, with PTSD, are associated with a dramatically increased risk for memory disturbances and even full-blown Alzheimer's disease. So the point is, it's real important in the long run that you work with this and you recognize that it is destructive for you. Despite the fact that it was done, you know, from someone else, we've got to move to a place where that situation no longer presents a threatening experience for you because your physiology depends upon it. And as I mentioned to the previous caller, what we really need to try to do is focus on spending more time with positive events and reframing previous events in a more positive light. And there, as I mentioned, there are great programs that will help you do that, like the programs offered at the Four Winds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can speak from experience with Alberto and the Four Winds Society that Dr. Perlmutter is talking about, is that it is a very empowering program because it teaches you how to be the one that is really driving the changes that you're looking for instead of going to someone and saying, fix me. It's a very focused on what can you do and how can you bring it forward to bring that strength and to allow the emotional charges that keep you bound in that fear to be able to release them. And again, for all of the listeners, the beauty of this book is that it takes Dr. Perlmutter's perspective from the science and the medicine allopathic part, and it weaves together that esoteric or that shaman approach of spirit, and it really blends the two together nicely. So that is something that he is really, that really this book is all about. So, sweetie, we really do need to get you to look at this book, to purchase it, and then do contact Alberto and his organization in Utah. Linda is a wonderful person to work with, and she can help you with that as well. Well, thank you so much for calling. And Dr. Perlmutter, we only have a couple of minutes, but you know, I went through this book, and you've got a wonderful program that includes the nutritional changes, the fasting, the meditation, kind of a holistic approach of how to not only repair the brain itself, but just to shift the perception of life. But if there's any one thing that you would like my listeners to walk away with in a short period of time, could you please tell them that one thing that you would like them to walk away with?
The one thing.
Difficult, well, isn't it? Sorry to do that to you.
I'd say the one thing would be, at least from a change perspective, a physical change, is to not underestimate the power of physical exercise. Mm. And the other one thing from perhaps a spiritual or emotional perspective would be that there's a lot of merit to the contention that it's all good.
It is. And again, you know, it's so often we see things through the eyes of our trauma or the eyes of our stress. And one of the things with the shamans is the belief is look beyond the obvious. And then you find all of these other aspects that you can be in gratitude and grateful for. And that releases the power of the brain and that kind of that new brain we're talking about and connecting with it. So, it's absolutely a wonderful book, all of you. It's Power Up Your Brain, The Neuroscience of Enlightenment. It is published by Hay House. And I do encourage you to go to hayhouse.com, amazon.com, all of the online booksellers, and then also your local bookseller. And what can happen is that if you really do engage, and I do speak from experience, if you engage and give it a try and don't go in and go, oh, my gosh, here's another thing, and, you know, I'm not sure it's going to work, but really give it a try, I can tell you within a week I started to find a difference in my body and my clarity of thinking and in my optimistic attitude that sometimes gets buried in the stress, but I could find all of that coming up to the surface. And there was this inspiration, this hope that, you know, you can really do this, Carol. So I do share it from experience. Dr. Perlmutter, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, Carol, it's
been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, all of you, if you'd like to rehear this show again, you can always go to my archives on www.ritberger.com. The show will actually be posted in a couple days. You can listen to it by clicking on it on my archives, or you can even download it if you would like to. So, again, a wonderful show, wonderful book, wonderful message, Power Up Your Brain. Those are the things that you can really work on. It's been a pleasure to spend the day with you. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope you'll join me again next week when I see you on the radio on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. on www.contacttalkradio.com. Have a great week. I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.